Hey, what's up, folks? It's JJ, and we're about to go live with one of my best friends on this planet, K-Fitz, as we discuss the game against Philadelphia, the upcoming game against Pittsburgh, and a whole lot more. So please sit back, relax, grab your favorite snack, grab your lunch, grab your dinner, whatever time of day it is for you. Grab something to eat and drink, and let's talk some Dallas Stars.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good that the Stars won. I'm not so good at some of the things I've seen, but other than that, we're doing all right.
Yeah, speaking of things we've seen that might put a damper in your day, just want to send out some love to Rick Bonus and his wife. His wife had a seizure. I believe it was over the weekend, I think I read. And she's in the hospital. Yeah, so
prayers are with
you. Me, yeah, same here, man. To me, they're even though they're in Winnipeg, they'll always be a form of Stars family because they've had a connection here. So, with that out of the way, man, we love you guys. We're praying for you. And back to the regularly scheduled program, man. You said you're happy that the Stars beat Philadelphia, but you don't like how they went about it?
Well, yeah, I don't know any Stars fan out there that's going to be happy with not only giving up three goals, but giving up three shorthanded goals in that game.
Okay, man, with the heavy, hard hitter.
You know, I know I was kind of being a little hard on Wedgwood there while we were watching the game, but I kind of rewatched some of it, and you know, some of that's not even his fault. I don't even think Ottinger could have stopped at least two of those shots. And being that when you're on the power play, you've got to control the puck and control the zone and the Stars for whatever reason it is. And we thought their power play would be even better this season. It just doesn't seem like it's there, does it?
Well, okay, two things. In their defense, Philadelphia, I think the lowest they scored was 2-0 against Vancouver. A win, a shutout win, by the way, a couple days ago. So there's that. Philadelphia could just be running hot. As far as the power play, though, I don't know. You got Matt Duchene in there to help with the PK and the power play, and you're still seeing goals scored on you on your own power play. That is, I don't want to say abysmal, but, you know, that's tangent worthy, shall we say.
Well, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about for the whole season power play wise. I don't think we've done very, very well on our power play. You know, I know they're coming into the season during the preseason, there was jokes going around that they couldn't score unless they were on the power play. And it doesn't seem like they're doing a whole lot of scoring on the power play. I mean, I think they've only scored, what, two, maybe three times on the power play?
I don't know the exact stats. Can we look them up? Is there a way to... Let's see. You got me curious. as a cat looking at his own reflection in a mirror, shall we say. That was dumb. Let's look at the matchup. Can we look at the matchup? Okay, so they were... Ooh. I'm sorry, huh? Where's the shorthanded goals at? I'm not even seeing those on the... shoot. Okay. So, yeah, they were 0-for in Philadelphia. And let's see. Gonna go back to the Quackers. Let's see what they were in the Quackers. They were 0-for... Nope, that's... I'm sorry. They were 2-for-5 against the Quackers. So that's two chances they had, and they scored, right? 2 out of 5. Let's see. This is... 0-for-2 against Vegas. Yeah. And then... Let's go Blues. No, not Let's Go Blues. We're looking at the Blues. Never say that. 0-for-4 against St. Louis. So, yeah, no.
So, we've scored on all of our power plays so far this season. We've only scored twice. Not very good.
No. And as long as you're going to be the announcer for the team that cracks on the Stars like that, when you look at the stats for the Stars, friend, that says more about your team than it does the Stars. Because they've only scored twice on... I can't math, and I'm not going to math all that. You know, that's on your team. That's not on the Stars. But yeah, it breaks my heart, but man, I mean, the season, yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. The season's still young.
It's still young, and we still have a lot of, you know, pieces to this puzzle that are new, that are still trying to find their footing and find out where they stand and how they fit in this whole big... I mean, I still think the Stars are a great team. I still think they're an elite team and one of the best in the league right now. However, there's always room to work. I don't care if you are the best team in the league. I mean, we saw how being the best team in the league worked out for Boston last season. So, you know, I'm okay with them not being the most elite or best out there or whatnot. But I do wish they would get a little bit more production, especially in the special teams, and going to, you know, not to take anything away from the Flyers, but my God, to be on the power play 3 times and to get goals scored on you instead of you scoring goals. I mean, honestly and truly, it would be like if you were looking at totality of statistics for the entire season, it would be like a quarterback that has thrown for 4 touchdowns, but 8 interceptions in their first 6 games or something of that nature. You know, yeah, that's kind of what you're looking at here, because, you know, technically, and I don't know if they've lost any other shorthanded. I'd have to look those stats up. I don't think they have, but still, to lose the 3 shorthanded, you've got 3 going against you versus the 2 that you've gained in another game, of course. But still, that you're being outscored on the power play 3-2. That's not good at all.
No, it's not. Not at all. Oh, wow. Somebody needs to fix their stats here, unless I'm reading it wrong, because it says the Stars are 100% on the penalty kill.
You know, they might be. They've been doing really good on the penalty kill.
14% on the power play. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they have been doing really good on the penalty kill.
I was looking at the wrong stat. The shorthanded goals on the power play, you know, that means, you know, you have the advantage and you're getting scored on. That's
right.
Not penalty kill at all.
No.
So, yeah, coffee wore off. I apologize.
I mean, no, their penalty kill unit has been phenomenal. I mean, honestly, truly, I mean, it seems like we play a lot harder when we're on the penalty kill than when we're on when we Not have really. The advantage. Yeah. I mean, it's like, what in the world is going on here, guys?
It's kind of like, and I'm not trying to knock the coaches because I don't know what goes on in the locker room and the coaching room and all that, but it's almost like they think the PK is where they need to score, because that's where, to me, that's where it seems like they try harder. Like, they gave up, what was it, 3 goals shorthanded, and they had 2 all of last season or some mess like that.
Right.
Like, there's something, there's not enough value going one way or the other, or maybe they're just playing everything upside down.
And to give up 3 in one game, that's the thing that really, I mean, honestly, truly, if this was 3 spread out through 3 games or something, or 2 games, I might not be so concerned, but my goodness, to give 3 up in one game, honestly, truly, they won that game by the skin of their teeth, or I'm sorry, by the stick of Pavelski. If it weren't for Pavelski, they'd probably wind up going to a shootout.
That's actually where I thought they would be heading, to tell you the truth. Because, you know,
I didn't think they were going to be heading to that. I honestly truly thought the Flyers were going to score on us 3-on-3.
Wow, you didn't even have faith in the overtime, huh?
No, because you know, it's like, we can't handle them shorthanded. How the heck are we going to handle them 3-on-3?
Solid point.
You know, I mean, honest and truly, I was, yeah, of course, I don't want to lose faith. And I got to hand my wife some credit. She's not a hockey fan, but honest and truly, while I was watching that game, she kept telling me, what's the score? Okay, who's going to win? And I'd say, well, I hope Dallas. Who's going to win? And I was like, okay, the Stars are going to win. You know, she kept pushing me. So, you know, she tries to keep me from getting down on myself when I'm watching. But, yeah, and she's not even a fan, but, you know, she kind of supports me in being a fan. But when Pavelski got that goal, I was dang near jumping out of my seat.
Dude, yeah, so am I. Like, he's getting closer and closer to 40, and everybody's making a big deal out of that. He ain't slowing down, yada, yada. Yeah, you're right. But, hey. You know, that just means he's experienced. It doesn't mean anything else.
Yep.
And, yeah, he put the team on his back. I'll say that.
Yep. And I'll be honest with you. You know who else has been impressing me so far in the early season? Our captain, Jamie Benn. He has really been out there. I've caught him a few times because I've tried to kind of watch when he's, you know, in the bench and things of that nature. You know, he's talking to people. He's, you know, trying to get people pumped up and doing whatever. That fight against the Golden Knights, I was, man, I'm telling you, I was like, heck yeah, that's what I want to see from my captain out there. Not afraid to throw some fists and throw them very well. Definitely got the better of the exchange as opposed to, I believe it was Hawk and Paul the other night against Philly. But, you know, I think he just kind of lost his footing on his skates and caught a good shot. But anyway, but no, I think you know, he scored against Philly the other night. I believe that's his, what, second goal of the season? He scored the first goal of the season for the Stars, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's coming out strong. Roope Hintz, of course, he's a star. Plain and simple. I don't want to say he's a star in the making. No, he's a star. I would put him up there with the Robos and people in that. And our young Wyatt Johnson, boy, is he not out there trying to make himself known. Beautiful, beautiful goal that he got the other night against Philly.
That kid is wild. He really is wild to me. Like, he's 20 years old, playing like he's been in the league for 15 years already, and he's only been it for 2.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean,
what I like is his resilience. You know, he got rocked pretty good the other night against Philly. Came to the bench for a little bit and was right back out there, you know, during his, you know, next time out. You know, he didn't miss it. You know, he wasn't taken out of the line out not one bit. And you know, he just continued to push. He wasn't timid afterwards. You know, he didn't lose his nerve. You know, I mean, there have been several times where you would see a young player like that, they would get rocked or something like that, and then the next thing you know, they're not playing up to their potential because they're timid or nervous. And you just did not see that out of young Mr. Johnston the other night.
I don't think you're going to see him do that ever. Like, I know what you're saying, that, you know, you would expect somebody 19, 20 years old to puppy dog, tail between the legs, tuck and run, whatever. You know, but you're not going to get that from that kid at all. And another big test for him is coming up with Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, and the Penguins.
Yes.
That is going to be absolutely, I need to find a clean word so I don't get in trouble for swearing. What's the word?
I'm sorry. I was reading Wyatt Johnson's stats here. What word for what? I'm sorry?
I need to find a word for the test that they have coming up in the Pittsburgh Penguins for Wyatt. There's got to be a clean word, but I'm drawing a blank.
Well, let's see here.
Trying not to swear.
I guess to pull an old one out of the old hat of old JR, it's going to be a slobber knocker. How's that?
There you go. Thank you. I will take that. Now, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins here. They are 2-3, but that doesn't mean anything.
Coming off of a two-game losing streak, so that means they put together three wins in a row. Two wins and then, or a loss, a win, and then have lost the last two, so.
Man, and they have Jake Guentzel, Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby all leading them in some form or fashion in scoring, points, goals, assist. Actually, Evgeny Malkin and Guentzel are the two leaders in assist.
Malkin's who really kind of, he kind of scares me.
Man, you got to be aware of him, though, because if you stop Malkin, you got Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
So,
kind of like if you stop on our team, where if you stop Robo, then you've got Rope Hintz.
Yeah, in a way, you didn't even tell me to, but you're just like, hey, Jay, shut up. Got it. Okay.
Got it. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good match team. But once again, I can also say we've actually got two lines where you've got a two-headed dragon. You know, you've got Rope Hintz and Robo, who hasn't scored yet. And you just know that it's coming. And when he starts getting hot, he gets hot. And then you've also got that Johnston line. So if you focus on Ben or Johnston, then you've got the other one to deal with. And a defenseman that we've been talking about that you're going to have to deal with is old Miro Heiskanen. He's been doing a phenomenal job this season.
Hey, he needs to be up there in the Norris Trophy talks, like, right now, and I think he is for a lot of people.
Yes.
He should have been all along, I will say that, because the kid has got it. Not since Sergei Zubov have we seen a guy that is out there, and he just owns it. I mean,
definitely.
You got Ryan Suter. He's good. He does his job. You know, everybody says he's slow, whatever. But then you got Miro. Miro is just the man, and he's young too.
Yes, he is.
And he can score. Yeah, he's a playmaker as well. And you're going to have him up against Malkin, Crosby, and maybe Guentzel if they play them. I don't know their lines, so excuse me if I'm wrong there. But Malkin, Guentzel, and Sidney Crosby all being on a line together. Miro out there with, I don't even know his D pair. Who's his D pair? Is it with Hakanpää?
I believe it is. Give me 1 second. I gotta pull it up, but I believe it is with hockey ball.
Oh, if it is, say again.
If I can only type.
Oh geez, yeah, I'm kind of the same way. If that is the D pair that they put up against Malkin, Crosby, and Gensel in some way, shape, or form, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Like, this is showing him with Suter.
Oh, even better, because everybody loves to hate on Mr. Ryan Suter. Oh boy. I don't know, but you know, this is a team where Haskinen makes everybody better. Whoever you put to his left or right or whatever direction he plays, even with the forwards, man, he makes everybody better. And you have not seen that on this team. I guess I can include John Klingberg in that as well. But you haven't seen that since Sergei Zubov. And I don't really care if I catch a lot of crap for that. There just hasn't been a guy on defense that's owned it back there at all. Suter and Haskinen. My gosh. Can they stop Malkin and Crosby?
I think any combination that we have, they would be the combination that could.
Yeah, but Ryan Suter is so slow, and Malkin and Crosby can score from the blue line on, or from the goal line on the other end of the ice. Oh, no. I'm mocking Penguins fans openly, yes. man, all they have to do is just kind of like own it to beat Pittsburgh. I'll say that.
Well, I just hope that over these past couple of days after that Philadelphia game, that the coaches have had them out there working on that puck control and not giving it up so easily.
Yes, Pittsburgh is not a team that you want to dilly-dally with. It's not a team that you just want to willingly just hand over the puck to.
No, you don't. And one thing that the Stars really need to slow down when they're on the power play. Stop being – look, when you're on 5-on-5, be aggressive. That's fine. But when you're on the power play, you need to play a little smarter. You have the numbers. There's no reason to be so aggressive in your play. Yes, you want to score, but you want to set up those scores and set up those angles so you can get it past that goaltender into the net. You're not going to do that being aggressive like they were the other night against Philadelphia. You could, you know, you cannot aggressively come into the zone. You know, you need to go into the zone and let your players set up, pass the puck around, and then open up your scoring opportunity. Instead of trying to take it deep into the opponent's zone and then setting your players up, you know, get into the zone, let everybody get set up, pass it along the blue line so that, you know, keep it in their zone. But you don't have to go so deep in their zone and be so aggressive with it to where you wind up losing the puck, which is what happened to them the other night against the Flyers. I have to agree with the announcers who were calling that game. They were being way too aggressive on their power play going into the opponent's zone, and that's how they would wind up losing the numbers.
You could say the same thing about last season and all the overtime mumbo-jumbo, too.
That's true, too, and that's another thing we seem to have not been able to address as well as I would have liked them to. We're still on the overtime train, but hasn't been as bad as last season yet. Knock on wood. Let's hope it doesn't get that bad. But, yeah, we need to start closing some of these games out during regulation play instead of going into overtime.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, circling back to your original point about patience and being able to set up, man, you have to be patient against Pittsburgh. If you look at their schedule and results and all that for the season thus far, man, they in my mind, no matter the score, they haven't been completely out of any game. So, you know, one false move by, say, Robo and Malkin and Crosby and the company, the gang, they're scoring on you. So, you know, you're going to have to keep them guessing. You're going to have to cycle it from D to D right there at the blue line, like K-Fitz said. You're going to have to put somebody in front of the net because that goalie there in Pittsburgh is pretty decent as well. You know, that it just needs to be done a lot better. And yeah, they're winning. They're finding ways to win early instead of finding ways to lose. But you can't continue to win by the skin of your teeth and claim to be a good club.
No. And one of the shames about it is, you know, when we are the number one team on faceoffs, however, I wonder what the statistics are and how many of those faceoffs we've won where we've lost the puck right after we won the faceoff because of puck control or because of overaggression and not taking the time to set things up or allow plays to set up.
That'd be an interesting thing to look at. Huh.
That, I mean, yeah. It's great to win these faceoffs, but if you're doing absolutely nothing off of that win, you're not, you know, it's all for nothing.
You know, when you put it that way, if you're going to do anything with the puck, I'd rather it be after the faceoff. Like, I don't care if you win the faceoff. That's all well and good. Like right. You said, if you don't do anything with it, what's the point?
Well, yeah, I mean, to steal a term from one of my favorite wrestling personalities, Jim Cornette, it's kind of like a popcorn fart, you know? All a lot of fluff. Woo, yay, we won, but poof, nothing.
I just choked on my sweet tea almost. Oh, my gosh. Wow, all right. Yeah, okay. I just totally lost my train of thought there, too. Popcorn fart.
Yeah. Plus, we are playing in Pittsburgh in this game. So
that crowd, you know, oh boy.
Yeah, that's a tough crowd to play. Any Pittsburgh team is a tough crowd to play against. Any Pittsburgh team, period. Their fans not only show up for the events at home, but they show out for away games too. I mean, believe me, I've followed, you know, every sport that you know Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania, you know, that city is part of, be it the Steelers, be it the Penguins, be it the Pirates for baseball. You know, you even watch the any, yeah, even the Phillies. You watch any away game, and you will see a lot of, you know, those that, you know, especially with the Penguins, the Pirates, and the Steelers, you'll see a lot of black and gold intermixed with your team's colors when they play those away games, because that city, you know, it's probably one of the most supportive cities of their teams, win or lose. They're going to win with their teams, they're going to lose with their teams, but they're going to support them.
That might be the one thing I like about Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Their fan bases are just there.
It's the one thing you have to respect about them, honest and truly. As I said, I followed the Houston Oilers for, good Lord, ever since, I want to say, 81, 82 is when I really started getting into football. My father was a Minnesota Vikings fan. Me being from Texas, my dad was not a Dallas Cowboys fan, so the Houston Oilers is kind of where I drifted to, because, you know, you were either a Dallas Cowboys fan or a Houston Oilers fan being from Texas. I just, right. I don't know, that love you blue just captured me. So we were in the AFC Central with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for years, I've watch the games between the two of them. And I'm telling you, I have been to the Astrodome and I've been to Reliant Stadium playing against Pittsburgh for both the Oilers and the Texans, and let me tell you something. There is probably at least, I wouldn't say half, but close to half the stadium in both those situations were filled with black and yellow. And I've watched the Dallas Cowboys when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dallas, and when they panned the crowd, there is a lot of black and yellow in that stadium.
Ah, shoot. And it's just because,
And that fan base, you know, my hat's off to the fan base in Pittsburgh. If any of the fan base listens to this, you know, my hat's off to you, but I still hope the Stars beat the Penguins.
Okay. Let's backtrack just a little bit, because even Pittsburgh had a Super Bowl right here at AT&T Stadium, and we saw just how much they play a factor into the game, shall we say.
Right.
So, for the Stars, man, Robo, Hintz, Pavelski, let's go ahead and throw Sagan in there, too, because, you know, he seemed like he was getting annoyed with trying to score and maybe not quite making the mark, shall we say? You know, like he would hit a post or whatever. You could see it. Like you could feel
his energy.
He wanted to hit it and he just kept going. So, you know, you're going to have all those guys ready, willing, and able to shut that crowd up, because you're not going to see, but maybe this is just a wild exaggeration, for lack of a better term, but it's pretty accurate. You're going to see 98%, 99% Pittsburgh fans, sorry, and you might see 2 to 3 Stars people.
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to have to do what we can to shut them up, or they're just going to give the Penguins energy, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but we're going to need our players to come out and play. I mean, Robo really needs to. I mean, we're going into like this our fifth game of the season, and he hasn't scored a goal yet.
That's why I mentioned Sagan, because you know he wanted to score the other night as well, and you know, ding here, ding there, you could see that he was trying, but it just wasn't going there. You need that out of Robo. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You need all hands on deck. You need, oh, here's the thing here as well. Okay, so they have Smith and Delandria that seem to be interchangeable in that fourth line.
Right.
Which one of them do you suit up against Pittsburgh? Because you're going to have to bump the puck off of them. They're stingy.
I think I would probably go with Smith on this one.
Why is that?
Not
to put you on the spot or anything.
No. I just feel like he kind of gives us a little bit more of a slight speed advantage. And I think we might need a little bit of speed. And I just feel like maybe he fits that line a little bit better than Delandria does.
Oh, you make it sound like Smith being here makes Delandria expendable. Uh-oh.
Yeah, in a way.
Oh, no. That means they're going to let go of one of my favorite people maybe down the line. Who knows? Yike.
We'll see. No, I just, you know, I mean, if you're looking at statistics-wise, you know, Smith has already got a goal on the season. You know, he's I just feel like he gives us a little bit, you know, more of a slight advantage over Delaney. I wouldn't say it's like a mile or anything like that. I mean, it'd be a tough call, but I would go with Smith over Delandria in this game.
Yeah, and you're right. Not to take anything away from any of the guys, they all bring something that makes the team work. Smith, he's quick, and you know who's on the line with him. Foxa and...
Yeah, Radek Foxa and...
Why am I drawing a blank on Hold the other on. Guy? Say again?
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Who is it? Ugh. Foxa, Smith, and... Anyways, Foxa can be the hard-hitting guy. The other two players, whoever they are, can be your speed guys. You know, all Foxa has to do is just rough somebody up, is what I was saying.
Right.
And, you know, Smith and whoever else, even, shoot, you could put Smith and Dellandrea there.
Well, here's my next, here's my next question. Why wouldn't you put Dellandrea, Smith, and Foxa out there?
Well, then, what about Sam Steele? That's the one. There we go.
There we go. That's who it was. Sam Steele. Yeah, that's who we want. That's a tough call there.
See, okay. Here's the thing. Once again, you've got Malkin. You got Guentzel. You got Crosby. Now, you can outskate those three guys. But my question to you is, how long is it going to last before they decide to just absolutely lay somebody out? Or you can bring the people that are willing to lay them out. You know, like, what do you do against a Pittsburgh team like this? They're constantly good. Constantly in the playoff picture, if not solidly in the playoff picture. I feel like the Stars, even though I don't want to diminish the team, I feel like they got their hands full. And again, I'm not trying to disrespect the Stars at all. I love my team. You'll see me get mad at them just because I do love the team that much. And I know what they can bring to the table. But Pittsburgh, man, they can get you from almost anywhere. So with that, do you... Ooh, here's another one that'll throw you off guard. You got the Pittsburgh first line, Crosby, Malkin, and whoever. Mm-hmm. Who do you play against them? Do you go Ben, Johnston, Dodonov? Do you go Foxa, Steele, and Smith, or Dellandrea? Which is your fourth line? Because that's a tough line right there. That is their line to score against. Or to keep from scoring. So do you outspeed them? Or do you outhit them? And
I would out-experience them. I mean, honestly and truly, what I would do is I would go with the Ben Johnston Dodonov line against them. And let me explain to you why. First of all, you've got Ben with his experience. You've got Johnston with his speed. And you've got Dodonov, who is kind of the wild card, you know. He's kind of everywhere and has done quite an amazing job since joining this team last season. I've been very, very happy with his work and what he's done and what he's brought to this team. So, yeah, I would go with the Ben Johnston Dodonov line against that lineup, because I believe, and Ben has shown it already this season, he's not afraid to hit or try to intimidate. And he's also not afraid to throw hands, as we've seen already.
You know what? I'd like to see to change things up a little bit. I'd like to see Johnston just come up and absolutely rock one of those guys. You know, it he could be happen. Creative.
You know, he might have a little animosity after that Flyers game the other night. Like I said, he got rocked pretty good coming across the ice. So, you know. He might have a little animosity and might take it out on someone. You never know.
That's exactly why I want to see it happen. Like, to me, you're 20 years old. You know, you're good. You deserve to be there. But at the same time, those of the people that don't know him could look at him and go, "Oh, he's 20. He doesn't belong here."
Right.
And I'm gonna bowl his A double crooked letter over, and boom, that's what happened. I think Johnston needs to come out like his tail end's on fire.
Right. And once again, I'm going to fall back on that defenseman. I'm sorry, but I think Miro Heiskanen plays a factor in this game. I think he's having a career season so far, and I think I just feel like he's going to be a factor in this as well. So I don't want to have all the focus on the main lines. I'd also like to remind folks about we've got some good defensemen as well. Better, honest and truly, our defensemen have been doing a lot better than I thought they were going to do coming into the season. When we were coming out of the last season, that was one of the things I thought the Stars really needed to focus on. But apparently, the coaching staff and the front office kind of knew a little bit better than we as fans did. And, I mean, sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. I'm just saying there are certain circumstances where the fan base is probably right, but the front office and the coaching staff doesn't want to face it. But no, honest and truly, I mean, our defensemen have really impressed me so far this season. If we could just get, our centers and our forwards to control the puck a little bit better, I think we'd have, we wouldn't have so many heart falling out of our chest moments. But, honest and truly, I'm glad we didn't pick up Dumba, as a lot of us were maybe thinking they should have at one point.
I feel like all eyes are on me with that. Okay.
No, I mean, I was there with you. I was kind of supporting that move as well. Because honest and truly, coming out of the season, that's where our focus was. We figured our defenseman was our weakest links. Of course, we're learning now it's not, but that's what we were thinking at the time.
Man, let me throw this at you too, because it deals with something that the Stars have had issues with for years now, which is puck control. You can go back and look up Patrick Stefan when you have a minute. Patrick space Stefan open net miss. He missed an open net against Edmonton that could have sealed the game. They came back. They scored off of the miss with an open net, K. Fitz. They tied the game, and then they ended up beating us. Puck control and this team goes way back. Way back.
And this is a league where you have to be able to control the puck, especially when you're in your opponent's zone. And I think that's our biggest thing. And if you watch those power plays the other night, that's what it was. We were being way too aggressive. We were losing the puck in situations. You cannot aggressively take the puck into the opponent's zone while your players are trying to set up for a play and then turn it over. That's how you get those shorthanded mismatches. That even though you're 5-on-4, if three of your four players are trying to set up for a play and you've got the puck and then you lose that puck, well, then they've got two or three players going the opposite way against one player who's playing defense. And you're rarely going to win those battles.
Are you referring to the breakaway goal that was shorthanded that Philadelphia scored the other night?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh can do that twice as many times as Philadelphia too.
And exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I hope over these last couple of days that the coaching staff have focused a little bit more on that and focused on, them not being so aggressive when we're on the power play. You don't have to score when you're on the power play, but you don't want to give up opportunities for the opposing team to score. That looks even worse.
You're right, because the key to it is in the name, power play. That means you're the one at the advantage. That tells me automatically, hey, if I have a good team, I'm watching them try to put some offensive pressure down, and they may just very well score.
You know,
go ahead.
Last season we were pretty good on shorthanded goals, if I'm not mistaken. I know there were a few times where we had a two or three game streak where we scored shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
We know what it's like to be on the opposite end of that.
And when you see, well, actually, when you look at the opponents and you see that they had three goals scored against them shorthanded in one game, you're making that team lick their chops as soon as they see you.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's bad when the announcers say, oh, okay, we've got 6 minutes left in regulation. Let's try not to foul the opposing team. Or, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the opposing team didn't just come out there and try to get a foul to get on the power play because of that.
I actually love the guy that you're referring to. And he's one of those guys that will he'll annoy you by studying a thesaurus, yes, because he likes the big words. But when it comes right down to it, man, he's going to tell you how it is. And, you know, you guys are both exactly right. Like, you've got to play smarter. And you really have to minimize the mistakes against Pittsburgh as well. And if you look at the schedule, man, there's going to be a lot more games.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up that they need to minimize the mistakes. And I understand it's a young season, blah, blah, whatever. But that is exactly the reason why you don't need to make all the mistakes. It's a young season, blah, blah, whatever. Because those blah, blah, whatevers can be what bites you in the butt.
Well, I mean, let's just look at our next few games. We've got, of course, Pittsburgh coming up tomorrow night. They're 2-3 and a good team. Don't look at that 2-3 schedule and think, oh, well, they're a pushover. No, no, no. And also don't look at that two-game loss streak. Like you said, they were in both of those games and could have gone either way. Then we've got Toronto and they're 3-2. Then we've got Columbus, the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, you're right. And Toronto has Ryan Reeves, by the way.
Right. And they're 3-2. Then we've got Calgary, which has always been a tough team against us. Then we got Edmonton, Vancouver, and then Boston. Oh, Boston.
Tyler Sagan's ex-Boston.
So, yeah, we've got a pretty tough stretch. I mean, if you look at strength of schedule, that's a rough stretch to be looking down the pipe on. I don't see any team on there that I would consider a pushover. Even though Edmonton's 1-3-1, that team is never a pushover team.
No, and they – okay. Well, when you go back a little ways, early 2000s, there was – I'm sure you're aware of this. There was a couple of back-to-back playoff series, Edmonton-Dallas.
Yes.
And, you know, that plays nothing into that now. But if you want to look at physicality and how hard they need to play, that's where you look. Because, you know, that the season went through Edmonton for the Stars. And with Draisaitl, McDavid, and Darnell Nurse and all those guys, they can get you from just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to believe, even though they're 1-3-1, did you say?
Right now, yeah, they're 1-3-1.
Okay, with the talent that team has, I don't even have to look at the scores. I automatically go to either mismanagement or mistakes. You know, and mismanagement means, oops, could have, should have, maybe scored on the power play. Or, oops, could have, should have, maybe tried a little harder to get an open net goal, whatever. You know, that team, 1-3-1 is nothing right now. And they... They were believed, if I'm not mistaken, to... No, they did. They beat Calgary when Calgary beat us and went to Edmonton in the playoffs. Remember that?
Right.
Not last season, but the season before.
Before, I think. Yeah. I believe
you're... everybody. Huh?
I believe you're right.
It was the Battle of Alberta. Thanks to that one referee, by the way. That still has a fire under my tail end. That, ooh, I hate Calgary just for that. And, you know, there it is, Battle of Alberta. You got Calgary and Edmonton in that span. And the one that scares me the most out of those two is Edmonton. Because, well, maybe it shouldn't. But I think Edmonton has the more talented roster. I mean, heck, they beat Calgary, who beat us, who, yeah. I don't want to go down that angry road again. Anyways.
Honestly, truly, either one of those teams are ones that are concerning. Because both of those teams, you can't look at their records right now. Because they're teams that can beat you on any given night without even batting an eye.
Oh, yeah. And they can get you from the blue line, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's big. If... oof. What if they did? What if it took a shot from the point, which is the corner of the blue line? What if they took a shot and bam, that was game? The way Dallas plays, the stupidly aggressive style they have when it matters most... and when they make the most mistakes, that's going to be ugly. They cannot afford to make a mistake against any of those teams, not even Columbus.
And if they can't get this puck control thing under control, those are going to be some long nights.
I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm not worried about anything beyond tomorrow night right now. But your biggest threat besides Pittsburgh, I'll go ahead and say Edmonton or Toronto even, because Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, they've got to get the puck control under wraps like 2 weeks ago. Mitch Marner? Austin Matthews?
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse.
All four of them can hurt you if you give up the puck to them.
Oh, dude, they can do it with a flick of the wrist and just smile and skate away.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I saw a post by a... we'll call him a closet Blues fan in a Stars group. You might have heard it if you listened to the show on one of the last couple episodes. You know, he masks himself as a Stars fan and just bashes the Stars any chance he gets. Uh-huh. But if there's, he said the very first game, which was against the Blues, was a must win. I'm gritting my teeth as I say this, so if you hear me pause, that's why. He said that was a must win right then.
Okay.
It sets the tone for the end of the season. Those are... paraphrase, but similar to his exact words. Now, if you look at the games right now, I would say those are must-win. Actually, to take the pressure off yourself, you need to be playing like every shift of every game is a must-win. And, you know, being in the military, you know that if the slightest little mistake is made, they're going to ride you until you're blue in the face.
Well, not only that, but these are teams that you may see in the playoffs. So, you know, you've got to set the tone. You know, it's just like when they went against Vegas the other night. Granted, we wound up losing in a shootout, but we at least, you know, held our own against, you know, the Stanley Cup champions and set the tone of, you know what, if it comes down to another series, this is what we're going to be looking at. Let's hope. You know, the outcome is a little bit better, more in our favor, but still, at least the tone was set.
I think maybe that was just a sign of things to come. I think Vegas is still our daddy.
Yeah, Vegas is still between Vegas and Colorado. I think both those teams are going to be very, very tough teams this season.
But hey, look at the standings, though. We're fifth.
Yeah.
In the whole freaking league, we are fifth here in Dallas.
Like I said, I still think that Dallas is an elite team. We just have a lot of things we got to work on.
Man, if you're going to work on it, man, now's the time to do it, because this is already an important stretch. And no, they're not division games. You already set the tone with that against the Blues, but these are all league powerhouses coming up. I'm not going to sit there and tell you, oh, the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won even sniffed the Stanley Cup in 50 years. They suck. No, they don't. They have Austin Matthews. They have Mitch Marner. Let's go Columbus. Oh, the Stars have beaten them X amount of times out of however many meetings. It's easy in the Stars' favor. No, it's not. Because one puck bounce can put it in the back of your own net, and that's game.
Well, you know my saying, as always, any given team can beat any given team on any given night. You can take the best team in the world and put them against the worst team in the world. And granted, you know, 5 times out of 10 or 5 times out of 6 times, the best team's going to win, but there's always that one time.
And to be honest with you, the 5 out of 6 times can just boil down to one play.
Yep.
It's not even who's better. It's who's luckier. Because of the effort they put in. I mean, heck, if I know we're running out on time, but let's look at last season for a minute. Anaheim Ducks. They were the close to, if not the worst team in the league when they came in and they beat Dallas. And God bless you for talking to me almost every day. You heard about it almost every day for like the next, 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
I was mad. And, you know, that's what we need to see from the players. We need to see you play with anger and direct it the right way. Direct it at that 2-inch piece of rubber and put it in the back of the net. You know, you don't want to use the player. Go ahead.
Oh, no. And let's get more shots on goal, too.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the shots on net? First period the other night?
Yes. It was embarrassing.
What do we have, like 11?
Something like that. I think it was like 11 to 23 or something like that.
Was it going into or coming out of the second period?
I didn't get it too late because, remember, like I told you, we had my grandkids, so I didn't get into the game late, but I think it was coming out of the second period.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was going into the third period.
Going into the third period, I think we'd only had like 11 shots on goal.
11 shots. That tells me you don't even have control of the puck. To the non-hockey fan, that right there is the major assumption. If you only have 11 shots on goal, everybody's going to say, oh, wow, you probably don't have the puck.
That's the way I would put it.
Yeah, you too.
I said, what the heck's going on? When I came into the game, I said, what in the world is going on?
11 shots on goal. That tells me you shouldn't even be going to overtime, homeboy.
I was actually surprised they were in the game at that point with that little amount of shots on goal, to be honest with you.
And, you know, you can flip it around and go, well, it's what they did with the puck that matters.
Yeah.
11 shots counted, but...
That's the whole, you know, quality, not quantity thing. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And when it comes to shots on goal, I'll take the quantity. because the more shots you get on goal, the more opportunity you've got for it to go into the net. Also, the more it shows that you're controlling the puck in the opponent's offensive zone.
I have no argument. I have no argument whatsoever. But with that said, though, Pittsburgh coming up, dude, what's it going to take for the Stars to beat the Penguins?
Puck control, number one. Puck control, number two. And puck control, number three, honest and truly. That's what it's going to take. I mean, and controlling our power play.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
And we cannot play the same power play strategy in this game like we played the other night. We can't play that power play strategy again this season. That does not work.
Here's a wild thing for you. What if Philadelphia goes on later in the season and ends up being one of the worst teams? And they still have that over us.
Yeah, we scored three shorthanded goals against you.
And you're one of the best teams in the league. Big what if.
Yeah, it's great to say that we'd be able to look it over, but as a fan, that's a tough one to look over. You know, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, you know, it's like this season, you know, Oklahoma beat Texas in the big Texas-Oklahoma game. And granted, I feel like that was more of a momentum thing, and I feel like Texas just didn't come in wanting it as bad as Oklahoma. Oklahoma had that bad taste in mouth. But that being said, for those of us that are Texas fans, we still can sit there and say, well, yeah, you beat us, but you didn't beat us 49-0 like we beat y'all last season, right? I mean, honest and truly, granted, I have a lot of friends that are Oklahoma Sooners fans. And yes, when they won, they were like, oh, we won. But they didn't talk a whole lot of smack like they usually do, because they know we as Texas fans still hold that over them. Yeah, y'all beat us, but y'all damn sure didn't beat us 49-0. And you're right. I mean, what can you say to that, you know? you're right. That even if Philadelphia comes out and is the worst team in the league, they're still going to hold that over us. That's something held over my head.
And that is going to be over our head the rest of the season, dude.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a talking point for the rest of the season.
Can you see the Stars in the playoff hunt towards the end of the season? And that still is like a lingering issue, almost like a fart in church, shall we say. Like, that's going to be the talk of the town, dude.
Right.
That's scary. And we're going down an important stretch already. I mean, they gotta grab a whole bunch of water and swallow that dang pill and move on. They really do. And, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. That alone is what made me nervous about Pittsburgh. And I couldn't tell you any keys to win except for score.
Well, you want to know what makes me nervous about Pittsburgh?
What's that?
Pittsburgh. Plain and simple. No, I mean, seriously, I can't think of a time where their teams have been so bad to where you're just like, oh, Pittsburgh, yeah, okay.
And even if they are, man, those fans.
Yeah, even if they are, you're still, just based on their reputations alone.
Oof. I want to go in there and I'd want to shut those fans up before they even started cheering.
Yeah. But I think we're going to have to come to the end of this, so I'm going to end it with my prediction. I think we end this in regulation. I think it's a close game. I think the Stars win 3-2. Goals are going to be...
Oh, yeah.
I think Robo gets his first goal.
Ooh.
Ben, I think, continues his streak. So I think he gets his goal. And I'm going to throw Pavelski out there. I think Pavelski gets a goal in this one. So that's my three goal scorers.
All right. I like it. I'll go 3-1. And all you have to do really is stop those big names on Pittsburgh. That's it.
That's it.
And my three goals will be, I'll go Wyatt, because I absolutely love the kid. We'll go, hey, why not? Sam Steele.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I can see it.
Under the radar. Like, everybody forgot about him. Oh, number one pick or whatever it is. First round pick for the Anaheim Ducks. Now a washed up so-and-so. No, he may still have it in him. And he's we'll go.
A goal this season, hasn't he? Or?
I'm not going to lie. I don't remember. I think so.
Yeah, I think Steele's gotten a goal. And I could have swore he had one the other night. I think that was his. But anyway.
That's we can use that as a topic for another day. We'll look it up and discuss. And let's go. My final goal will be, if not Ben carrying over his momentum, I think Mr. Ageless Wonder, that insults me, by the way, will continue his confidence and momentum. And yeah, I think he'll score as well. So there's my three. And I think Guentzel, Malkin, and Crosby somehow generate the one goal for Pittsburgh. That's all you got to do is shut them down. That's it.
Yeah. And quick.
Yeah. And that's a good team too. But, you know, those are always the three that people go after. So shut them down. You're good to go.
I love it. All right. Well, we'll find out tomorrow night when the puck drops, I believe, at 7 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, wait a minute. There's not a 9 o'clock game?
No, not right now. I think over the next couple games, the latest one is the 8 o'clock game.
Oh, shoot. No, tomorrow is 6, by the way.
Is it? Oh, that's right. They've got it Pittsburgh time. So for our area, it's 6 o'clock. So puck will drop at 6 o'clock.
Thank you, hockey gods. I don't want to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning anymore. All right. Well, I'm fired up. Thank you for taking the time to join the show, man.
Always a pleasure.
I guess I'll catch you next week, I hope.
Yes, sir. Go Stars.
Go Stars. Thank you, guys. And thank you, KFITS. We'll see you next time.